The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And I have in studio with me, returning one more time, David Stanley McLeod, also known as Shadow, who is the president of the Trinidad and Tobago Seamen Education Employment Association. And with him is Mr. Abu Mohammed. Now, last time he was here, that speaking about Mr. McLeod, he was speaking on the situation facing seafarers, and seafarers would include persons who work on the ship, all the way from captain, go all the way down to steward, or did I get the scope right? Bus boy, yes?
Beginners. And cadets.
Cadets as well.
Yeah.
All right. So remember, turn a little bit for me towards the mic. There we go. Yeah. So good morning to you once again. And the last time we stopped off, you were saying that there seems to be a disparity in how many Trinis or locals, Tobagonians as well, being able to be employed on the ships working in TNT waters. Tell us a little bit about if any communication has happened with the association since that conversation. And what are the main grievances that the seafarers are putting forward at this point in time?
Good morning, Teska. Good morning, Trinidad and Tobago. We are the group called TSEC, Trinidad and Tobago Seamen Education Employment Association Contractor. We seek the interests of all seafarers in Trinidad and Tobago. The interest that we seek is to educate, to empower, to motivate, and to help them to get all their certificate in order so that they could get jobs on the ships that is chartered to work for Trinidad and Tobago, and we own ship. But that is not happening. This is why we are doing interview on radio and looking to do on TV also, so that the Prime Minister and all the ministers who involve in the maritime and seafaring industry, in the offshore industry, in the ocean-going industry, will look into this. It is to help to move young men and women away from the street, from a life of crime, to help them to be working, to educate themselves. And the main thing about this is that the charter agreement that is not putting in place, that is what affecting our seafarers. So we have young men and women who did the course, which called the pre-sea. Their certificate expire. They went and renew it, and they never get a job up to today. We want this to change because our government and our private investors are chartering ships. When you look in the Gulf and see the amount of ships that anchor, the amount that coming alongside, no Trinbagonian working on them. Even with Seabridge, just imagine the disrespect on the Seabridge. We have qualified and certified officers here, from captain go right down to cadet, beginners. From chief engineer go right down to beginners and cadet. From chief steward go right down to steward. And when you look at the ships, we have foreigners as captain, second chief mate, second mate. It's only now we understand and we stand to be corrected that third mate is being employed on the vessel. The foreigners are getting pay in US and our local are getting pay in TT dollars. We have to pay national insurance, we have to pay tax, and we are not getting
poor. All right, so I want to have a few questions just from your statement. What is the difference between the chartered services and the quote-unquote normal services? Is there a different set of rules? How is it that it seems that there are more chartered services happening on the seas rather than using local services? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that we doesn't have our own cargo ship. We have to charter cargo ship. We have our own vessel, which is the APT James, the Boko Reef, the Galleon Passage, and the Spirit. And we still does not have, before the Spirit and the TNT Express, what they sold, had full crew Trinbago seafarers. Now the APT James and the Boko Reef and the others, foreign captain, foreign engineer, and we have who came out of UTT. Now the charter agreement, all the ships that is bringing the cargo in and out of Trinidad and Tobago, the gas and oil, charter by company like NP Flour Mill, Paria Heritage. Those are the ships that we want to see the government put the right charter agreement and the right MOU so that our young men and women will be working on those vessels. It used to happen before, is that who go in and sit down to negotiate the contracts, who are not putting the right thing in place. They have to let the owners and the company know that Trinidad and Tobago have qualified and certified seafarers from the top right down to the bottom.
Now, I remember our last conversation, we were talking about the ownership of the boats, where if it is the according to the charter agreement, if it is that you're not comfortable with having locals fill the positions to avoid liability or to avoid unforeseen circumstances, quote unquote, with the operations of the ship, they prefer to have persons who are knowledgeable of the type of ship, the operations, etc. So is it that, as you say, it is only about the agreement itself and how persons are placed in positions, or is it a fear that the owners of the boats have that is stopping locals from being employed in these positions? And what can you do to change that perspective?
Go ahead, Al.
Well, I would like to take this role now.
Mm-hmm.
If you or one is accustomed working with a group of people, then you would rely on them because you know their ability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know other people, then you would be afraid to take the chances until give them a chance to see what they are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is that recently, before I retired, which was 2019, I worked for 7 years in Venezuela on the said project of the gas and the Dragon Field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 7 years I worked in Venezuela. And from 2010 and so on. And it came about that the Venezuelans didn't have qualified people, but the job was theirs. And they had was to send people from Venezuela, the same nationals, to at least work on the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their job, that was their project.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came across, they had no qualified people.
Now in Venezuela?
In Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Trinidad, we are qualified and certified.
So what is the apprehension from hiring persons of Trinbago nationality to be on these ships? Now, one of the questions that may have an impact on your answer is how many of these ships are owned by the government of Trinidad and Tobago to allow such a facility where only Trinis or Trinbagonians are hired on the ship? How many? Well,
it's not a case of Trinidad owning the vessel, but they are chartering the vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And there is where we're supposed to be given a percentage of the job on board the vessel.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like their hands are tied, because if the owner of the boat or the charter is stating that we prefer our own people to operate the vessel, there isn't much wiggle room. So it seems that Trinidad and Tobago government needs to hire or buy all these ships.
Not really.
Mm.
But if you hire my vessel,
mm-hmm,
to do a certain job,
mm-hmm,
all right, let's put it this way. Trinidad and Tobago may borrow money from China to do a certain project.
Mm-hmm.
It will have condition.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Chinese nationals may come in, or if it's IMF you borrow from, IMF now will be telling you, yeah, you need to make some adjustment in order to have X amount when time to pay me.
Okay.
And these are the conditions when you talk about the charter agreement have to be put in place so that when the time comes, we know you have deck rating, you have engine room rating, you have steward department, and we could start with some percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're giving us an opportunity to prove ourselves, so when we go on board and we start to perform, you could say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the cooking department or the catering department,
mm-hmm.
and we could talk or cook and see that we are capable of providing proper meals
mm-hmm.
for officers as well as crew, then you could say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if not given the opportunity, then how can you decipher if we are capable or not?
Mm-hmm. I get that, but I think even further to that, if you are operating in said waters of a country, that some percentage, strong mandated in our contract, can't go beyond that stipulation, needs to be added to hire locals. Now, from what I'm getting from you all is that that is not being enforced. And there is a problem or a disparity between foreign nationals and local nationals on the vessels. And you're asking for assistance for that to change. Is that correct?
Yes, because when the foreigners stay in Trinidad waters to work, they have to be given a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Trinidad government look into it, instead of issuing these permits to foreigners, you could give the chance to Trinidad locals to see if they are capable, yes or no. Because let's take, for instance, the Blue Wave came recently to mm-hmm. run Tobago. And the Seamen and Waterfront Workers Trade Union had to protest because they was not given any jobs. When the Cabo Star were here, they had jobs on the Cabo Star.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blue Wave came and replaced the Cabo Star. And the seafarers had to protest. The Seamen and Waterfront Workers had to protest to show that they didn't get any jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising to me. Why? Because you have the merger since last election with government and
private owned
mm-hmm. and the unions.
Okay.
And there is where I find the union should have been putting things in place for the sake of getting jobs on the vessels that are chartered by Trinidad government.
So you're asking for stronger representation from the union leaders who are familiar with what is happening on the waterfront?
Because years ago, there was a clause in some agreement where it was saying that the same percentage, 75% of most of the labors by vessels that is contracted to take our cargoes in and out, 75% of the labor force used to be given to seafarers. And Seamen and Waterfront Workers knew this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was taken out a couple years ago. And this is where they're supposed to look to back, get that back in whatever agreement so that Trinidad seafarers or the nationals could get employment.
In terms of CARICOM, are there any opportunities within CARICOM for seafarers, or is it the same scenario across the board? Whereas if it is that you don't receive work in Trinidad and Tobago, you can go to another island and receive jobs. What are the opportunities like on that end?
Now, on the CARICOM end, some of the Caribbean islands seek the interest, the government seek the interest of the people, of their seafarers. Now, for instance, Guyana, who just find all that oil and gas, they seek the interests of their people, because when they first started, Trinbagonian used to go down to Guyana and work. After the Guyanese were seafarer also, but they was not offshore qualified. So we fit in there and they come and do the course and learn, and they start to seek the interest. So our people only going down there by a handful now. But the big problem here with Trinidad and Tobago is the person who they're sending to charter and the people who working in these office running these how to call it institution or this private enterprise and so forth. Like for instance, Flour Mill NP have ship working here over 30 years from Point 14, Point Apier, Silot, Tobago. No Trinbagonian working on them vessel. We used to have Trinbagonian managing our own vessel doing the same route. Now, not one Trinbagonian. We have the vessels who bring in all the gas and oil. Big vessel. Not one Trinbagonian on board any one of them. These are the things that we are trying to get the government to put in place. This lay in the hands of the government, like the energy minister, the trade minister, the transport minister, and the prime minister who is at the head, supposed to look into that, because it is to create employment. We have right now we have an employment problem, and that will solve a lot.
So I have to play devil's advocate here, because there have been messages as well within our last conversation stating that unfortunately Trinbagonia is not as reliable as you make them sound to be on the sea. They're late, they are rude, they get into issues on the boat, you know, things like that, and they prefer to work with persons who have a better work ethic. What you would have to say to that? No, is that a true thing, or is
that not true?
Yeah.
Every vessel we work on, we leave a good name behind. We was number one in the world in ship maintenance at sea in port. But somebody for their own pocket make certain clause, like signing in the right charter agreement, move out of it. Because when a ship come here to work and the company does not want to take off the crew, they used to pay what they call free money or money loo. That mean that the Trinidad and Tobago crew who supposed to go on board that vessel is getting pay right in the union hall. Every month you get your salary. But we don't want that anymore. We want our people to go there because our people are qualified and certified even more than some of the, I won't say all, you know, more than some of the seafarers that is on board. Because when we go, we does everything what you have to do. You know, most people who doesn't know about the seafaring industry, they will say all kind of thing because then they doesn't know. But is you, the seafarers, the seafarer in Trinidad and Tobago is a kind of hidden industry. It's only people who around the ports and who have their family working there will know about it. But now we have seafarers, a seafarers women group with captain engineer. We have a seafarers officers men group with captain engineer. They go in and work on foreign ship. We used to be flying from here Carnival Day, Christmas Day, flying to go on ship what we know we never see. When we reach on the ship, we performing like if we was there all the time because we are fully qualified. Most of us work on all type of ship. The only type of ship I never work on is car carrier and passenger ship. But call all the rest. I work on all type of ship. I used to fly from here to all over the world. To look in the strip of Amur, I used to be walking from there to India and all about. The only Trinbagonian on board.
So I think what you're calling for more than anything would be a meeting with the transport minister, energy minister, and the union to sit and discuss how best they can change the current circumstances of seafarers at this point in time. Is that what you're requesting?
Well, yes, we are requesting that because since the government changed, we've been writing to the Prime Minister, to the Energy Minister, the Transport Minister, the Trade Minister, even the Labor Minister, the Homeland Minister, and we are not getting no answer. It is jobs for our young men and women to move them from a life of crime. And we're lacking of employment for young people. And that is a field that opened up for us. But we cannot get to break it in. It's the government and the private investors who charter in ship have to put things in place.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, the government have the main thing to say, well, change that charter agreement, put the right charter agreement in place. You don't have to change the whole charter agreement, you know. It's just the
but changing the charter agreement is one thing. The enforcement of it is going to be another issue, because is it that there is a serious consequence for not hiring, let's say, 80% of the crew as locals,
well,
where they be fined or they can't enter sea or sea waters or something like that? What kind of stipulation would you like to see, Mr. Mohammed? Let me hear what you have to say.
To me, it's very simple. You understand? In this way,
mm-hmm.
If one has a vehicle and two people came to you for employment, one with license and one without license.
Mm-hmm.
Who will you choose?
The one with the license, obviously.
More time.
Mm-hmm.
What about if the person who does not have a license is the better driver, but you didn't test him?
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Because you didn't explore.
Right.
Right.
No, if given the chance, as he was saying before, you would take a crew long time. We fly to England or somewhere in Europe. You meet a ship. The crew that was there, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody get in their position and they start to perform their duties. Now the ship is about to leave port. Coming down a channel, maybe 12 hours, 20 hours. The guys who now join the vessel have to go and steer the ship out of port for 12 hours. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No. The captain does not know if I am steering, if I really capable, but he have to test me, because that is the time we now live in. We had no chance to test before. Could we just fly in?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's like 12 o'clock, you leave in port, who is ever on 12 to 4 watch? They goes up to the bridge to steer the ship. A lot of people in Trinidad may not know that when we are working on a vessel, we does the steering. When the ship is out in ocean, you have automatic steering, so you could lock it in and the ship running for days and whatever.
By ways.
But when you going up a channel or you're coming into Trinidad, though the channel might be short, it's a seafarer got to be on the wheel to steer the vessel under pilot orders. So one, you must know your pilot orders. When he tell you how much port or how much starboard and what to do, you have to know that. Could a beginner, without any knowledge, do that?
I would hope not, as a passenger on the ship. I don't think I would want anyone who's winging it to be, you know, guiding that ship.
This is what goes on with us, or used to go on. So if you're not given the opportunity, none will know our qualification or ability.
All right.
This is all we're asking for, because we had it to do, to join vessels all over the world and just have to pick up watch, bam, and you have to steer it up.
Yeah.
No collision.
And just being able to get it there safely. We've got a minute to 10 o'clock. Going to take a short break. And when we come back, last 5 minutes, where you state what it is you would like to see done and what we need to accomplish. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. We'll be right back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Well, Welcome back, TNT. In the last 5 minutes with the association president for seafarers in studio with us, and also Mr. Abu Mohammed, David Stanley McLeod. They call him Shadow. Why is your name Shadow? I just had to ask.
Well, a seafarer has given me that name.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like a very scary kind of story.
No, not scary. It's the way I used to dress.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Something like Shadow the Calypsonia.
Oh, black is your favorite color.
Used to be.
Ah.
And he also from Tobago.
Ah, okay. So it was inevitable. Inevitable.
But I live all my life in Trinidad.
Okay.
17 years.
So just remember to keep it towards the mic for me, right?
Yeah, just keep your head up.
Yeah, so we could hear you a little better. Now, off air, we were just talking about I was trying to really understand if it's such a simple issue of words on a piece of paper, because basically that's what the charter sounds like to me.
Yes.
Right? Where there's an agreement where the vessel is operated for a certain amount of time, there's a percentage of, there's a number of persons needed to operate that charter, and you want a fixed percentage of locals working on the boat. Why does it seem so difficult to enforce that? What do you think may be stopping the enforcement of the agreement? Because I'm thinking for it to even be in operation means that it was agreed to. So what's really happening?
No, Tesca, before we had it, that is how we used to be working. As a ship charter and enter Trinidad and Tobago, the foreign crew comes off. Only the officers used to remain.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have one and two local officers in between two. Full crew Trinbago seafarers from Boston come down, from Motoman come down, from Chief Cook come down sometime, used to be on board.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that command change. And we're not getting jobs. Even in the offshore operation right here, we have fully qualified local, and they're bringing foreign with the same qualification as our local and working in our offshore.
Could it be that they're working at for a smaller salary than yours?
Well, some does be working out for a smaller salary, but not majority.
Mm.
It's them who working on when you call flag of convenience. The company go to a cheaper flag where they could pay less, where they could have less condition and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what brings some of this. But still with the flag of convenience, we used to be getting what is due to us.
Mm-hmm. And earlier out you talked about being paid in US dollars and getting TT dollars.
That is happening on a local vessel.
Mm-hmm.
The foreigners is getting paid.
Did they change
US.
Any currency? They don't think that they make it easier for us?
Well, we don't get the equal rate. If we was getting equal, that is nothing. It's here we live. But they want to pay you lower than what they're paying the foreigners.
Mm.
And that is our vessel. Now, we could have all we vessel, you know, because just the same way the past government, take a loan to build the APT and the Boko Reef. They could do the same thing to build a general cargo ship. So we don't have to charter anymore.
And have it fully crew Trinbagonians.
Because we have female and male who is captain and engineer.
Mm-hmm. What would be the alternative for seafarers if they don't find employment in Trinidad and Tobago? Do they leave?
Well, you have to look for all kind of work. You have to live.
Where else could you go?
Mm-hmm.
Where else could you go when you are not accepted home?
Mm-hmm.
Here is our home. And if we are not accepted, what else can we do? You might go in a foreign place, you have to get up to their standard.
Mm-hmm.
When I say their standard, all the paperwork have to be done. Because a lot of vessels I work on, and Captain used to say, Abu, I'm sorry that America is like this. They would have taken me with them.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Canadians, they say, Abu, write the company. Just mention you're working with Captain so-and-so on what vessel, and I could be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
because I know my ability, they see it. But then if I am not accepted home, where can I go?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the questions we need to really look at and try to put the answers to.
And in on top of the conversation within the last year coming into this one, conversation about opening up the refinery again, the explosion or the expectation that oil and gas would be running again.
Yes.
And, you know, that industry being LNG. In the boom, right? Mm. They LNG. Would be looking for employees, yes. Not so?
Yes.
So
it,
if,
it should be.
And if it is that you, like you're saying, if you can't get work here, the idea would be to, so who would be working?
Foreigners. And this is what we are trying to get nip in the bud now, although it's going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we are on the case now, and we're hoping that we could get somebody to look into it and start to make the necessary arrangement. So if you do get back on stream,
mm-hmm.
then the little guys...
So next, you know, the next question in my mind is that legal?
Yes.
Where they forego local operators for foreign persons?
It used to be, as long as we have the qualification, we have the first opportunity. But we don't know what killed that. That is how to say it.
Are y'all alerted to when they will be job recruiting? Do they let y'all know?
No, before.
If they happen to see it in the newspapers advertised?
Sometimes they may advertise one or two things. Even on Facebook and here and there, you will see things mm-hmm. advertising. But a lot of the companies now, they form their own little group. They call in whoever,
mm-hmm.
or they have people around working and they might bring in their friends, family, or whoever, and they might be accepted. But when you're talking about qualification,
mm-hmm.
I haven't been on a vessel, let's say 7 years now, and I am certain if you take me from here now
mm-hmm.
and put me on a vessel, whoever there before, I know I could outdo them. I could say
that's
that
interesting. If you all are the association representing seafarers, I think they will call you all up and say, okay, we need a boatsman, we need a first captain of ship. I don't
whatever.
Know. If it's, yeah, whatever it is.
Right? No, this is how it used to be in the earlys.
Mm-hmm.
You sent to these seamen and waterfront workers.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a vessel coming down?
Mm-hmm.
The company would send and say they need X, Y, Z.
A crew, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the union supply it. As I told you before, the union is kind of going down, and it's kind of like
mm-hmm.
everybody doing their own thing and
scattered, scramble
who they could get and put them on.
Right.
But if you're dealing with logic, and you could get bona fide people to do your operation,
mm-hmm.
then you send out or get the right agreement, and you get people, when the time comes, you get your pool, and you just select from there.
Mm-hmm.
Test who you want. Who you could keep, you keep who you want to reject, it's fine, because it's your job. You want safety, okay.
Mm-hmm.
As I've mentioned before, if I come with a license or without a license, who will you choose to run your vessel?
Mm-hmm. Well, preference would be the person with the license, but I guess if you're testing along the way, then you see what potential there is to train and then... further certify.
You can select and whatever.
Yeah.
If somebody lacking some certification, you could say, here what, you go get this mm-hmm. after that.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it's 10 past 10, and I do appreciate you coming in to give another perspective on what's happening, and to reiterate the call that you're asking for the relevant authorities to meet with the organization so that this can be rectified, so that young people will have the opportunity to, you know, direct themselves away from crime.
From crime. Yeah. That's our main concern, because we are not going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we are retired.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, the part that we could play is like voicing our opinion, letting people see. If you could do, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are about the same thing. Everybody wants a safer Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
Who is playing what part?
And the thing is, Mr. McLeod will tell you that first time we had that discussion on the different positions and seafarers and so on, I was like, wait, there is that industry. It doesn't seem like that is active.
Exactly.
You know?
People don't know.
And where the universities and schools are playing a part in that. Oil boom's supposed to be coming up, so we're supposed to be making sure that we have the workforce to do that. But
we go so far to ask the government to open up Caribbean fishery so that our seafarers could go and train, and when they go on the vessel, they make some agreement.
For hiring after.
Right.
Yeah.
And apart from hiring, some people know the cost moved from like 700 long time,
mm-hmm.
and it's gone up to thousands now.
Yeah.
Who unemployed person could put out, let's say, $3,000-$4,000 to maybe get a certificate and hope
to
for
be
a
employed?
Job.
Yeah.
But if you take in the interest as government and you send them to school, they get a certificate. Let's say you send 10, it's $4,000, that's $40,000. When they get a job, you then know every month so and so coming out to pay back your $4,000.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds like gate. That
yes.
sounds like
it's easy.
Yeah.
Because Caribbean Fisheries, I don't know if they operate right now.
No, that's how they're operating again.
UTT, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had opportunity where I could have been teaching with these two establishments, UTT and Caribbean Fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time where I was working, I know they couldn't afford my salary. So I didn't do it because I have plenty of children.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. So I had was to secure my
your interest, portion. Yes.
But the
yes.
whole thing is, if you're looking and you're seeing where the youth's slipping away and they're not going in a good pool, we don't want that.
And that is to help them.
Yeah.
I don't mind coming out and teach people what I know. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of them getting ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If the government have that grip on mm-hmm. the country and the citizens, they could do the other part. If they call on me to give my service free, I will do it.
Well, gentlemen, let's hope that the message has fallen on the right ears so that further discussion can happen with you. And for those who would like to get in touch with Mr. McLeod, you can check us here at Freedom 106.5 FM for his information. And I guess, yeah, keep moving forward with that. Because that is a way to ensure that, one, we have the required workforce, because you all want us to be able to blossom, right? And also to keep the young people in the right path.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.